There we go. The title of my lesson is, Why Does God Allow Suffering? And I think it's a great thing, too. We're all different. And I think sometimes we think that's a bad thing, but actually that's a good thing. You know, it makes life more interesting that we're all different. We all have different backgrounds. We all are different ages. We come from different places. But one thing that brings us all together, one thing that we all have in common, we suffer. And it doesn't matter how old we are or how young. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter our education. It doesn't matter how much money we have or how little money we have. None of it matters because all of us, no one is immune. We all suffer. And I think we all know suffering too well, don't we? And we see a lot of suffering now because of COVID. But we all suffer in many ways. Whether it's the death of loved ones, or sickness, or just the sorrow of living in a sinful world and dealing with selfish people, we suffer. And we know it too well. So then the age-old question then is, God, why do you allow us to suffer? The purpose of this lesson is to help us better understand the answer to that question. I think one thing that might help us to understand suffering is to realize that this place, this world that we live in, and even this body that we live in, is temporary. We don't really know how much longer it's going to last. Maybe today we will no longer live in this body and in this world. You know, the great thing about being, and actually I think this is kind of the greatest point of this whole, well, almost, anyway. It's a great lesson. God is a spirit, and he made man a spirit. The only thing that God created that was a spirit is us. That's why we are so special. And the thing is, we're going to live forever. We're just not going to live in this body forever. This body is temporary. And this world that we live in, as beautiful as it is, I don't know if Don's going to do any hunting this weekend or when it's going to be. I love getting out in nature. I play golf. 80% of the reason I play golf is just to get out in nature, though. You see the birds and the trees and, you know, everything. I think that's, I've never hunted before, but I think that's what hunters and golfers have in common. You know, we just like nature. A beautiful place. It's temporary. It's temporary. Peter describes us as sojourners and pilgrims. The word pilgrim means a traveler to a holy land. I don't know if you ever thought of yourself as a traveler. We're travelers. We're preparing ourselves for an eternal home. We have to focus on that. Remember that. This world's just temporary. It's a stopping point. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners. God has something better for us, brethren. God has something that's prepared for us that's better than what we have here. And then the Hebrew writer says this, for we have no continuing city, meaning this world, but we seek the world to come. That's what we're all doing as sojourners. And then Paul writes concerning our body, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, He's talking about our body is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And really, he's already made that. You know, because the spiritual body is us, and we just live in this house, our body. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So I think when we suffer, I think God, what he's trying to do is say, Brad, don't get too attached to this world. It is a nice place, but I don't want you to get too comfortable here. I don't want you to be too attracted to this world, because I have a better place. I have a better world for you. So I think that's one reason why God allows suffering, even though it's really hard to understand why, if God loves us so much, why he would allow us to suffer. But if we didn't have that eternal home and we couldn't look forward to that eternal home, perhaps we wouldn't prepare for it like we should. If we had it so great here, why would we want to even prepare for an eternal home? We would just want to stay here. And when we were young, I think we all wanted to live forever. But then as we got older, we saw the kind of world that it is. It's got some nice things in it, but there's a lot of bad things in our world that makes us lose our attraction. And then we realize, as we understand more about God's world, God has a better plan for us. He has a better life for us. And so we begin to desire something better. Why does God allow us to suffer? You're going to think, well, I don't know. Maybe you've had this discussion with your spouse or significant other or friend. I actually think since COVID, the world is a better place to live in. Am I crazy? I think it's a better place to live in. And the reason for that is because I think people have seen mortality in general, how dangerous this disease is and what it can do to us. And I feel like people are more humble. I feel like people treat each other a little bit better. And I see more tolerance. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. But I think that happens in times of disasters. You know, a tornado wiping out a home. People are drawn to help. We tend to reach out to those who are suffering. Or if somebody's facing a personal crisis, or facing sickness, or the loss of loved ones, we see people helping those who are suffering from these things. And this may be why the early Christians rejoiced in their trials. Paul wrote, but we also glory in tribulations. That doesn't sound right, does it? To glory in tribulations? No. We would think that would be, how is it that we can glory in our tribulations? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So it has something to do with our maturity, going back to God, helping us to prepare for our eternal home. It helps to mature us when we endure suffering. We'll get back to this a little bit more later. Why does God allow us to suffer? I think another reason he allows us to suffer is because it allows us to silence the enemies of God. Remember Job? Satan wanted to prove God wrong about Job, that he served God only because God had blessed him. We all know the end of the story. Job suffered through this, or Job suffered through all the things that were tossed at him, and he was patient, and he was faithful all throughout these sufferings. And it silenced Satan. God wants us to do the same thing, because we all suffer. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, you're going to suffer. But if people see us suffering and enduring the suffering, it's going to silence those who might criticize God. Peter wrote, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of men, those who ridicule the teachings of Christ." By doing good in times of suffering, the value of being a Christian, I think, shines through. By our faith that sustains us through suffering, and by the love that we show for those we see suffering, people see that. The world sees that. And it silences them if they are critics of God. I can't imagine a world where I wasn't suffering. I guess that's heaven. We're not in heaven. But I think suffering helps us appreciate the things that we have. We are blessed with so many great things. God has blessed us so much because he loves us so much. It's easy to take them for granted. All the many good things God has given us, our families, our friends, the church, this beautiful world. And of course, you've heard the saying, you don't know what you got until it's gone. I think that saying is true. When we're ill, after we recover from the illness, it seems like we do appreciate our health more, don't we? And I think it helps us appreciate just the things that we have. Paul was a great example of a grateful spirit, somebody who appreciated the things that he had. Paul certainly did his share of suffering. Of course, he was put in prisons countless number of times, and none of them for good reasons. But he had a very grateful spirit. And Paul said, and saying this written in chains while he was in prison, he reflected on the good things that he had. And a lot of things that he had that were most important to him were his relationships. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you," meaning the church, "always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy." He says, "I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, because I have you in my heart." He couldn't be with them, but he was with them in his heart. "Inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." Paul was grateful for the things that he had. And here he was in chains, in prison, and he was showing how grateful he was. I think another reason God allows us to suffer is that suffering makes us more dependent on God. I think sometimes when things are going well, that I don't need God. I can get by without God. I think that happens sometimes when things are just going too well. We start taking credit for it and we forget God and we say, "I'm all good. I can do this. I can get by." But then it takes some crisis to bring us back to reality, to realize we need God. You know, I love that song, "I Need Thee Every Hour." I need thee every hour. I love that song. And I think it's true. We need God every hour. And it takes a personal crisis, I think, sometimes to realize that. But it draws us closer to God. That is, if we will draw close to Him and come to Him and ask for help. And how many times have you asked God for help and He said no? I can't remember. I really can't remember any time He said no. But even if He did, I know there's a good reason for it. Paul proclaimed, "In God we live and move and have our being." And it takes a crisis sometimes to help us realize that. Suffering can purify us. It kind of goes back to priorities again. Our life, what's important in our life, sometimes it takes a crisis to help us realize what exactly is the most important thing in our life. It's not stuff. It's not the switch. It's not money. Peter writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our trials are sort of like purifying gold. It comes out of the ground with impurities in it. To make it pure, they stick it in the fire, and that separates the impurities from the gold. It takes suffering to help us to realize what is important sometimes, to get us back to the attitude that we need to have and realize our importance is to serve God and to serve and love one another. And it takes these things to do that. And I think, too, it's also like a test. You know, it helps us understand where we're at with God. When we have a trial and we overcome it with God's help, with prayer, then it helps us see where we stand with God. Ironic as it may sound, James wrote, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in temptation into various trials." That seems like it should be the opposite. Count it all. Why would we count it all joy when we're suffering? That doesn't seem right to me. But he said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It goes back to spiritual maturity, realizing our priorities. Consider the man whose wife was recovering from a serious car accident. He said, "I searched my own life during these past several weeks to confess my failures and shortcomings to God. It brought humility to him." He says, I didn't want my own sins to stand in the way of God hearing my prayers for my wife. He was asking God for help, and he didn't want anything in the way. He says, I wanted to be truthful with God and myself, and today I'm a better man for it. He persevered. Suffering makes us more patient. Or I'm sorry, suffering makes us more sympathetic. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others." Comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, our own afflictions help us to better comfort others in their affliction. We may think we can sympathize with someone, but until we've been there ourselves, there is no true understanding of what they're going through. It helps us to help others. When we experience suffering, it makes us more likely to weep with those who weep. We are more able to help others. Suffering teaches us how to pray. Paul wrote, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." We may all be a praying people. We pray at the right times. We pray for the right things. But when we are suffering, we pray more earnestly. And we pray with groanings which cannot be uttered. And finally, brethren, suffering draws us closer to God. Peter wrote, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." When we patiently endure suffering, it draws us closer to our Savior who also suffered. When we suffer for Christ's sake, it draws us closer to Christ because we have something in common with him. I hope this makes sense. From a human standpoint, it makes no sense. I'll take that back. It was the first scripture when I was in college at Ball State. This was the very first scripture that was shared with me. The scripture is in Isaiah. "And God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When we look at suffering from man's point of view, we're never going to understand it. But when we look at it from God's point of view, we see his plan to help us prepare for not this world, not this home, but one that's eternal. We just got to trust him. And then we can begin to appreciate why he allows it. And this is one of my favorites. We've got to remember, God made us. He knows what's going on. He's in control. I hear Brother Tom say that a lot. We have to remember he is in control. And he loves us very much. And there's nothing in this life that could ever separate us from how much God loves us. There's no kind of trials or tribulations or anything that could ever happen that is going to separate us from the love of God. But we have to trust him. Because God loves you. He is in control and he knows what's best for you, despite the things we have to suffer. I hope that helps. I hope you enjoyed the lesson this morning. At this time, we would like to extend the Lord's invitation to those who wish to put on Christ in baptism. We have a baptistry here. Or to those who need prayers of the church, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.